This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry welcomes you to the broadcast. The Reverend Steve Kramer will be conducting our service today. Stay tuned following the program for information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon. Please join us for worship every Sunday on this station.
We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, we gather around your holy word today, eager to hear what you have to say to us. As we study your word together, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and help us to grow closer to you and to serve you with courage and confidence. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. Our reading for today is from Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 24. They're the words of Jesus, who has gotten the disciples ready to go out and share the good news of the kingdom. And he's also warned them that it's not going to be easy. But these are his words of encouragement. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It's enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and a slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So don't be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows.
I love to tell a story.
Dear friends, every so often it's necessary for an organization to ask itself this all-important question, why do we exist? I once read in a leadership book, we need to ask that question because of the fact that vision leaks. It's easy to lose sight of the original intentions of the organization and to wind up getting off track. So it becomes important to regularly visit that why question to keep things moving in the right direction. I've discovered along the way that the Church of Jesus Christ is no different. As a leader of a congregation, it is necessary for us to visit that why question again and again, because it's true, vision leaks, and we do sometimes get easily distracted. I once read a humorous but sad story by a fellow named Paul Kahn. He tells of how one day while living in Atlanta, he noticed in the yellow pages in the listing for restaurants an entry for a place called the Church of God Grill. Curious about that, he dialed the number. A cheery voice answered, "Hello, Church of God Grill." Paul Kahn asked the man on the other end how his restaurant had been given such an unusual name. Here was the man's answer. "Well, we had a little mission down here, and we started selling chicken dinners after church on Sundays to help pay the bills. Well, people liked the chicken, and we did such a good business that eventually we cut back on the church services. After a while, we just closed down the church altogether and kept on serving the chicken dinners. We kept the name we started with, Church of God Grill." Wow, talk about leaking vision. Those folks got distracted by chicken and profits, didn't they? I know the story's a little extreme, but churches do seem to get off track now and then and begin to major in minors. So back to our question, why does the church exist? Jesus provided the answer to that question in this passage we just read together in Matthew's Gospel. As he was sending his followers out into the world, he said to them, "What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim upon the housetops." Jesus has given the church, you and me, if you're a follower of Jesus, the assignment of being his spokespersons in this world. The church is in the communications business. God has had a variety of spokespersons in the past. In the Old Testament, it was the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and so forth who spoke God's word to a spiritually confused nation. Then Jesus came in the flesh in the New Testament. He, as no one else could, was the Father's spokesman. Now we see Jesus telling the disciples in today's passage that he's counting on them to be his spokespersons to the world. He's talking to his church. And what does Jesus want the church to proclaim to the world? Well, if you went back to the front part of Matthew chapter 10, you would find Jesus sending those followers out and instructing them to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of heaven. That was our Lord's message. He would point to himself as he would announce, "The kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Repent and believe the good news." To meet Jesus was to meet the kingdom. Peter later on said in his first public sermon on Pentecost, "God has stepped into this world to rescue us from sin and death through Jesus Christ. Repent and believe this good news." That's what God wants the world to hear. The message of Jesus Christ, the good news of what he has done for us. Anything less than that will never do. The church exists to point people to Jesus and announce to the world who he is, that he's the Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life, the source of a human's salvation. The church exists to proclaim in all that it does what Christ has done. You and I are sinners in need of a Savior, that sin separates us from God and the life he intended for us, and that the consequence of sin is death. But here is the good news. God has taken care of our sin through Jesus Christ. He died upon the cross as a payment for our sins, and God raised him from the grave. He has purchased a place in heaven for us. Turn to Christ. Trust in what he's done for you. In our pluralistic world, some in the church today might chafe a bit at this message. This could be offensive to others who don't believe as we do, they might reason. Don't we need to soften this message up a bit in order to be more effective marketers to get people in the doors of the church? I'm afraid we're going to turn people off, and we might find ourselves shunned in the community as fanatics. Typically, that's fear speaking. Christ's call to speak up for him is also given to the individual member in the church. We must never let that truth fall by the wayside. I heard a well-known preacher say one time, as he bemoaned the lack of personal witnessing in today's world, this statement: "A kind of arithmetic has been spawned in the counting rooms of hell. This kind of arithmetic is always interested in reaching the masses, but somehow never gets down to a man or a woman. This kind of arithmetic always talks about winning the world for God, but doesn't think much about winning a neighborhood for Christ. That arithmetic makes it valiant to cross oceans and never really ever crosses streets." Each follower of Jesus Christ is to share the good news with those whom God has placed alongside of us in the various activities of life. If you listen and watch closely, you will discover that God has surrounded you with a mission field of people needing to hear of his great love for them. They need Christ in their lives. Often they need to be awakened to the dead end that they're headed toward, and they need to be pointed towards the better and eternal life that God longs to give them through a relationship with Jesus Christ. For many of us, the thought of doing that strikes a note of fear in our hearts. What will people think? How will they react if we do this? Jesus understood that fear, and he understood that that would be a response to this directive. He probably saw the anxiety in his disciples' faces as he told them that it wasn't going to be easy at all. In fact, they should expect to be maligned and rejected and persecuted as he had been. In the first part of today's passage, he points out a disciple's not above the teacher or a slave above the master. So no wonder they were afraid. We know those disciples later on were persecuted and even killed for the sake of the Christian faith. Now, in the United States, with our religious freedom, we don't face those kinds of consequences. But there is one form of persecution that does strike a note of fear in us. It's the thought of being rejected or ridiculed. As human beings, we desire to be a part of the group. We want to belong, to be accepted. Bringing that message of Jesus up to someone might jeopardize all that. Those relationships become so important to us that we fear rocking the boat. So, many fear and tremble as they consider this calling of Jesus upon their lives. If that's the case with you, Jesus has a word for us today. After assuring the disciples in verse 26 that everyone would in the end see that what they were doing was God's will in speaking up for Jesus and that they were on the right track, he then went on to give them some instruction and then some reassuring words. First, he instructed them, "Don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." What's Jesus doing here? He's reminding them of the big picture. Who ultimately deserves our fear and reverence but God, the one who holds my eternity in his hand? We are to fear God and love God and trust God above all things. Only God, who created me, who redeemed me in his Son Jesus Christ, is worthy of my fear and awe. It was this episode, I'm sure, that caused Peter later on to say to the religious authorities who had beaten him and ordered him to quit talking about Jesus in public, these words, "Whether it's right in God's sight to listen to you rather than God, you must judge, for we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen or heard." It was this picture of an awesome God who is to be feared above all things that caused Martin Luther to stand before an emperor and a powerful religious council that opposed his gospel message of grace and say, "I will not, I cannot recant." Let me ask you, these days, who do you fear above all things as you live out your life? What's your vision of God? Has it shrunk? Because the God we serve is big, and He holds our ultimate destiny in the palm of His hand. After this instruction to show them the big picture, Jesus offered a reassuring word to his fearful disciples to encourage them. As he was talking, he probably noticed a sparrow or two swooping around outdoors, and they became his illustration as he said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted, so don't be afraid. You're of more value than many sparrows." He was offering a wonderful encouragement to the believer. He's saying to us, God knows you. You're valuable in His sight. He'll never let anything separate you from Him and His great love for you. You can never drift beyond the love and care of your loving Father. You're not alone in this endeavor. God goes alongside of you and is involved with you as you speak up for Christ. By the way, the disciples went on to discover later on that there is power in the telling of that story of Jesus Christ. People can be impacted by it. It's God-powered. You will discover that for yourself as you speak up for Him. Like my friend Jim did. The other day, he showed up at my office and told me that he had just led two people to Jesus Christ the evening before. He glowed as he told me the story of how he had befriended them and last night the doors had opened for him to share the gospel and that they asked Christ into their lives. He was on his way out to buy two Bibles for these individuals, and he said he'd be walking alongside of them for a while to disciple them. This isn't the first time I've heard this kind of story from him. Years before, Jim had gotten the message of what God's purpose was for his life and for the church. Got some training in how to better tell that story of Jesus, and since that time, he's been having a ball. Another story. Don worked at a textile mill. One day, he noticed a big man who walked out of a door almost running into Don. He was over 6 feet tall, looking mean and scary, Don said. He looked like he could tear your arms off. He would have been even more intimidating, but he was crying. It was uncontrollable, Don remembered. I didn't know him, but I asked him what was wrong. "I've ruined my life," the man said. "I can't take it anymore." Don asked if he could talk to him about it. The man said, "Yes, please." Don learned that he'd been addicted to cocaine for years and couldn't stop. His wife wanted nothing to do with him. His kids hated him for being such a bad father. In a matter of about 15 minutes, this big, burly man was asking Christ into his heart after Don presented the gospel of Jesus to him. But that's not the end of the story. Since that time, this man has led his wife back to the Lord, and he's back home, and his kids are loving their new dad. Of course, it's not always like that. We know that. Oftentimes, that story will fall on deaf ears or lead to ridicule and even hostility, just as Jesus said. But Jesus didn't command us to be successful. He commanded us to be faithful and obedient to this call. And so I'd like to leave you with a personal challenge today. First, think of someone in your life that stands outside of a relationship with Jesus. Start praying for an opportunity to share Christ with that person. Ask God to give you listening ears, courage to step out, and words to share. When the door of opportunity opens, and it will if you pray like that, I dare you to say something for Jesus to that person. Christ is counting on you. If you decide to trust God this day and take up this challenge, We at Christian Crusaders would love to hear about your experience. I know it's not comfortable. It's oftentimes not convenient. But Jesus makes it clear he's counting on us to speak up. People are hungering for good news. Amen. Pray. Father, embolden us to tell the story of Jesus without fear or shame. Empower us to tell it courageously, gently, and effectively. We know that you have placed all kinds of people around us who need to encounter Jesus and his amazing love. Help us to be your instruments in their lives as we speak up and reach outward with the good news of what you have done for the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping today with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's gospel message has strengthened and uplifted you. Just as Jesus used the humble gifts of a small child to satisfy the physical needs of 5,000, so the Holy Spirit can also use your gifts to help feed the spiritual needs of the multitudes. Please consider sharing in the mission of Christian Crusaders to help spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We encourage you to visit Christian Crusaders' website at christiancrusaders.org. On our site, you can preview the upcoming program, listen to past sermons, and find daily devotions and much more. To request printed copies of today's program, as well as CD and cassette copies, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Today's program is also available on our website, christiancrusaders.org. Conducting today's service was our associate speaker, the Reverend Steve Kramer, senior pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.